Good afternoon. It's lovely to see you all today. It's lovely to be with you. Thanks to all of the ladies for sharing with us and ministering to us this morning, for all who took part. It's great to be here with you. I want to, in the first moment or two, just mention a little bit. The Reverend Moody has asked us to mention a little bit about our ministry, and then we'll come to Mark chapter 6 a little bit later on. Really, where we're at the moment, I think I have a number of slides on here. I first of all want to say a massive thank you. I know that folks here are familiar with CEF. I want to say a huge thank you to you for praying for the ministry, praying for the work locally. As Reverend Moody's already said, we've been involved up in Northeast Ulster for 15 years now as local workers, doing all of the things that you associate with CEF up there. But just about the last couple of years, we've been beginning to work more into Northwest Europe, helping out in various situations there, some training for leaders and for workers. And really, over the last year, this time last year, leadership approached us and asked would we consider taking on leadership of the area. I have a list of the countries there just for you to think through. We don't have time to go into all of those this morning. I've divided them up like that for various reasons. The top country there, things are very well developed. What you know of CEF in Ireland here is the same in Germany. They have a leadership team of three. They have many local workers. They have local committees. They've all ministry well developed in Germany. The others aren't so fortunate in that sense. The first three there together, the grouping of three up into Scandinavia, work is small. There is a national board there, and boys and girls are being reached in a small way. Again, the next five, those are, I suppose, countries that we would associate, maybe not know an awful lot about in terms of mission, but I'm going to show you in a moment or two in Latvia. It's really amazing what God is doing in some of these countries, and I would really love this afternoon, that you would get a burden for those countries. Things are small. There are a number of full-time workers there reaching boys and girls on a weekly basis, but they rely largely on volunteers. And again, the bottom two countries there, we're thinking more about beginning and developing ministry there. So that's the countries of Northwest Europe, and I would ask you to pray for those. But because it's the PW service today, I thought I would mention a couple of ladies in a couple of those countries. I'll leave that with you, and we'll move on from there. The first one is Indra in Latvia. Indra has been working for us for over 20 years, and really, I've put the picture of the candle there because there really is light in Latvia. If you want alliteration this morning, there's a light in Latvia because you think maybe some of these countries, there's restrictions and so on in the countries, but really there is an incredible openness to the gospel in Latvia, and we're so thankful for that. The next picture shows a village where Indra and her team, I think the next, there it is, the team went to the community association and asked could they have a club, and they said yes, as long as the parents are in on it and parents give permission. And over 200 children in this town gave a welcome and said they would allow their children to come. So great five-day clubs there in the summer. Something else that's really exciting, something in the next picture I think that doesn't happen here, is we have a real sense of openness in schools, of course. It was great to see Lorna there this morning. She is involved, obviously, in the school there in our area. And she said she wasn't much of a farmer, but I've seen her herding sheep. Well, children anyway, in and out of those classrooms. So I think she could do it okay. But we don't have even the openness that they do in Latvia. Every day in the primary school in Latvia, children have to have a devotional time. And our workers have been privileged to supply and develop material for many years now, where every day, I think the next picture shows a girl in a classroom just sitting with a wonder book. There are other devotional books that we have every day with God that are translated. And every day, children have to sit down for a period of time reading God's word, answering questions, and it's just a great opportunity. Now, I just got a report from Indra this week just to say that that is something the new Minister of Education is considering moving this to an extracurricular activity. So do pray for that. It is a great opportunity for every boy and girl to read the God's Word every day, to read some of Scripture and to be asked questions about it and so on. And so do pray that that light will continue to shine there. So that's light in Latvia. We're really, really encouraged by that. Second thing really I want to think about is new workers in Norway, because really since I come in, I've not officially started the role yet. I'll tell you more about that in a wee second or two. Really since I've begun working in this area, one of the things that we get country reports through every year, one of the things that is coming up time and time again is that every country is really short on workers. And this verse has been something that I've saved into there's a little app I have, Prayer Mate, on my phone. You can get it on the CEF of Ireland website, and it puts in CEF information. You can put other things in there to remind you to pray for each day. And this verse is one that comes up on my phone every day in my quiet time, and it's really encouraging us. The harvest is plentiful, the labourers are few, but pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out labourers. And that's what we've been praying. And amazingly, God is beginning already to answer that prayer. The next picture shows a girl called Sarah. She's from County Fermanagh, County Tyrone, in and around the border there down near Clocker. And she had been praying for one of our workers. Some of you will know the name Ida Johnson has been in Lapland, in the north, in the Arctic Circle, Norwegian Lapland, for 35 years now. And Sarah had been part of a prayer group that was praying for Ida. And one of the things they were doing, they were praying that God would send someone to replace Ida. And as Sarah sat in that, she went to Bible college for her third level education. She went to Belfast Bible College. She did some other training. And she was part of this prayer group all the time praying. And one day, in between class and being in this prayer group, it really dawned on her, why would I not just consider going and praying being the answer to my prayer, and going to replace Ida? And so the Lord has thrust her forward, in a sense, to do that work. And she's in training at the moment. She's coming to her Easter conference. I'll be interviewing her on Easter Sunday evening in Portrush. And just to hear how God has called her, how God has worked in her life, how she got to Bible college, and how she's now in preparation. She was finding it really difficult in Northern Ireland to find someone to begin to teach her the Norwegian language. And she found this man in Belfast who's a believer, and she meets every week. And lots of things there are lining up for Sarah. And so do pray for her. We're really encouraged with that potential there. But there are needs there. I think Sarah needs co-workers. She needs others to join her in a team. There are some volunteers on the ground, but we would really like and pray and ask you to pray that the Lord would send others into North Europe. She lives over 100 miles inside the Arctic Circle, or she's going to. So this time of year, it's the weather's not too bad. In summer, they have the sun from May through to July. They have the sun 24 hours a day, no nighttime at all. And then in the winter, it's dark 23 hours a day. So it's a unique place to be. Sarah's been there in the daylight and the midnight sun. She's been there in the darkness to try and can she get used to it. So do pray for Sarah. And we're so encouraged by the work that these two ladies are doing. Indra in Latvia, Norway, there with Sarah. She begins to go and to take over the work that Ida has been doing. Many others in all of these countries. We really don't have time this morning, but maybe in time to come, we'll be able to come back and just to share with you what God is doing. As regards ourselves, the next picture really, I suppose, splits up where we are. We finished at the end of August with the end of the summer program back in Northeast Ulster. We're doing some training with this couple, Stephen and Pam Garrett, our area directors in Southwest Europe. We're with them at the moment. We're doing deputation, sharing the needs in the countries like this. And then what we're going to be doing really now from Easter, that kind of Easter summer term on, is really we're going to be visiting some of the countries. We have a conference in Germany for all of Europe in May. We're going to meet lots of the leaders there and just pray for relationships as we begin to get to know these folks. Culturally, things are very different in each of the countries, even though we label them the Baltics or we label them Scandinavia, whatever it is. They're very, very different culturally. So pray for us then as we get to know, as we get to hear what God is doing. My wife will tell you I don't listen very well sometimes. In fact, my children sometimes, they go, "Dad, Dad, Dad." And when I don't listen, they just go, "Stephen!" So do pray that God will give me a real listening ear to hear what God is doing in these countries and to then equip us as a family and equip us with the national boards and team leaders to really help reach more boys and girls in these countries. And that's really the ministry part. That's then into probably this time next year we'll take on the full responsibility of all of that. So do pray for us. A big change. I have a photograph here of our family. Just pray for us. Thankfully, the European CEF leadership have said for us, it's better to stay in Coleraine as a family. If we were to relocate to Germany or Switzerland or somewhere, we'd still have to fly to 10 countries. So they've said, please stay where you are. Joel and Hannah are in the grammar in Coleraine. The other two are at primary school. Lee is just transitioning to the grammar. So they thought it was wiser for us to stay, to live in Coleraine, and I'll travel and maybe Grace from time to time as things allow. But pray for us as a family. If you'd like to keep the children away from the fire, you too can have one of those photos. Take it home and just to remember to pray for us. I think there's some of those down. I've left some down there as on your way out. If you'd like to pray, if you'd like to partner with us in any way, there are little packs there if you're interested in a little bit more information about what we're going to do, and maybe you'd like to partner financially with us, then all of that is there. And if you'd like to sign up for a prayer letter, that is all down there. But again, next picture, just really what we're about. We want to say thank you for your prayers and for your support, and thank you for this opportunity to share with you today. We're going to turn to God's Word. If we turn to Mark chapter 6, please, and thank you to all of the folks there who read for us this morning, to Emmeline and to Hilary. We appreciate that. But if you have your Bible open before you, I just have three things, really, that I want to say about this passage this morning. Three things that I think that are here. Many other things could be said, but I want to leave these three with you this morning, this afternoon, as we leave together. A number of years ago, as I was doing some Bible college, one of our lecturers was saying he went into a school assembly and he was double booked, so two people arrived at the same time to do the assembly, and my friend, he said that the other gentleman, they had this kind of discussion, who's going to do this? And eventually my friend said, look, I'll pray and you do the assembly. So the other man did the assembly. He told this story very well. I don't know if he dressed up as a shepherd the way Lorna did this morning. I don't know. But he did the assembly very well. And when he came to the end, here was the big thing he said. That whole bit where they all ate and were satisfied, verse 42, and they took up 12 baskets. He said, here's the big thing, boys and girls, I want you to remember. That after telling the story really well, he says, I want you to remember that when you're out for a picnic, that you lift all the litter before you go home. And that was his big story. Now, I think there's a little bit more in this passage this morning. In fact, I think it's really all about mission. And that's I'm using that in the broadest sense, whether that's mission across the world, whether it's mission across the street, service. I think this has a great deal to say to us. And the three things are here that I want to mention. I'll throw them up together and then we'll take them one at a time. The first one is what is involved in mission. Second one is there for you. Have we got it there? Yep. Why do we need mission? And the last one then is who is the missionary? That's where we're going this morning. What is involved in mission? Why do we need mission? And who is the missionary? Three simple things. First one then. What is involved in mission? Let's turn to the passage, Mark chapter 6, and verse 30. The reason why I tell you this is all really about mission, because if you scan back in chapter 6 to verse 7, we're told, Mark records for us that even if you look at the title, it says Jesus sends out the 12 apostles. But verse 7 says, he called the 12 disciples and began to send them out two by two. So Jesus has sent the disciples out on a mission. And when we come to verse 30, they're now coming back from that mission. And we're told the apostles returned to Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. And he said to them, come aside by yourself to a desolate place and rest. For a while many were coming and going, and they had not leisure to eat. And we're told, verse 32, that is what happens. And so really what Mark is saying, and what the unique point that Mark draws out with this story that the other Gospels don't, and incidentally it is in all of the other Gospels, I think the disciples learned a great deal from this. But one of the things I think the thing that Mark draws to our attention here of what's involved in mission, it is ascending out. It's ascending out to do what Jesus has commanded us to do. Now, Jesus, elsewhere in Mark's gospel, there's a big emphasis on Jesus was proclaiming the kingdom of God. He was urging people to repent and believe the good news. And so the disciples have been out doing that. They've been sent by Jesus to do that exact thing. And that's really what's involved in mission. It's ascending out. It's a going out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to urge people to repent and believe the good news. But it's never done in a vacuum. It's never done in a vacuum. And again, that's the unique point that's mentioned, because here we're told that as they return to Jesus, Jesus senses in some way that it's time that these guys have a rest. They are out sharing the gospel. They're serving. They're working hard. They're involved in missionary activity, and they're exhausted, and they come back, and Jesus knows what's going on. They're tired. They're likely hungry. The miracle of the feeding comes a little bit later on, but they're tired and hungry, and here they come back. But something else I think that's not just sitting on the surface of this passage, something I think that's involved here, that's mentioned here, is really, I think there's an aspect of fear. Now, where do you get that from, Stephen? Well, between the little bit that I read in the beginning there, Mark chapter 6, verse 7, where they're sent out and now they're back, we're told, Mark slots it right in the middle there, that John the Baptist has been killed. So the disciples have come back to Jesus, and here's the news they've come back to. Matthew's gospel actually makes it even clearer than this. Matthew tells us that at the moment the disciples come back, a messenger comes and says, John has been killed. Right? So these guys are tired. They're hungry. We know men in particular, we're more prone to be down when we're tired and when we're hungry. And these guys come back and they hear this story. John the Baptist has just been killed. Oh, what was John doing? He was teaching about the kingdom of God. He was urging people to repent and believe the gospel. And you can imagine the mathematics going on in their head. 2 and 2 equals 5. John's done that. We've done that. Are we next? And you can see a sense. Mark's wanting us to realize almost that, look, these people are afraid. He's wanting us to realize that that's what's going on here. And so mission is ascending out to proclaim the kingdom of God. It's not done in a vacuum. There's other stuff going on in life. There are trials, there's difficulties, there's fears going on. And I think that's something that's really important for us to remember in here in Northern Ireland. Whether it's service, whether it's mission across the world or across the street, it doesn't mean that it's devoid of difficulty. It doesn't mean that everything's going to be plain sailing. We're serving King Jesus now. We're on our way to heaven on a happy day express, and everything's going to be simple and straightforward. No, there are going to be difficulties. But I think the whole purpose of this whole story is a little bit more than don't pick up your litter after your picnic. I think the thing that we've got to realize in this story is that the Lord is bringing these men into this situation. He knows that when they go across the lake, go to the other side, the people are going to be there. But the Lord is bringing them into this situation. He's leading them into this situation that he might build them up and encourage them and strengthen them and train them for service ahead. And again, I think that's true for us as well. I think it's often in the difficulties and in the trials and in the fears of life that we throw ourselves more on the Lord. Over the last number of weeks, this kind of thing has been on. I can give a couple of pictures there. I don't know if anybody's been watching this on TV. There's these kind of series on all the time. It's called Raw Recruit. It's young guys applying to the army at 16. You have to watch it with the volume down right enough. Some of the language isn't great in it. But sometimes it's about the paratroopers. This one was about the army. But I love watching this kind of thing for some reason. I think just a boy, you always wanted to be in the army. But one of the phrases they use is this idea of the shock of capture. These kids have, mummy's been doing their ironing all their life and doing everything for them and leaving stuff into school that they forgot and all that kind of thing. And now they're on their own and they have to do all of that themselves. And it's really, really difficult. But what they do is then they take them outside and they keep them outside for a week in all kinds of weather and they shoot at them and they make explosions go off and they're scared within an inch of their life, and every week there's crying of some sort or another. It's really, really difficult. But what are they doing? They're training them, because in weeks and months and years to come, they're going to have to do this for real. There's going to be bombs, there's going to be shooting, there's going to be noise, there's going to be confusion, but they're being sent out to serve Queen and country, and off they go. And they need that training. And that's, I think, what's happening here. The Lord is taking these men and all their fears and all their insecurities and their hunger and their tiredness and all of that. And they're being sent out to serve. They're being sent out to serve. Second thing then, I think, that we pick up here is, I think I have it there in the next thing. Why do we need mission? Well, the story goes on and we're told there in verse 34, when he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. So disciples are off for a little rest in the boat off to the other side of the lake, and of course Jesus knew what they didn't know. The crowd had come round, and people come from everywhere. When they land on the shore, the last thing they want to see is a crowd, but here they are. And what they do see is something remarkable, because they see the love that the Lord has. We're told here in this way. Mark says, when he went ashore, he saw a great crowd. He had compassion on them. And he explains why, because he says, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. The disciples are here to learn. Jesus is leading them. He's teaching them. He's training them for the mission after he goes back to heaven. And what do they see? They see Jesus, who had compassion in his heart for these people. They were like sheep without a shepherd. Quite literally, it means there, when it says Jesus had compassion to his heart, it means he's hurt to his heart. He's deeply emotional. He sees these people in need without a shepherd. And Old Testament times, Lorna referred to that today in her children's talk about how important leadership and a king and a shepherd was in the Old Testament. But here are these people. They don't have any leader. They don't have any shepherd. Herod the king, a political leader, is useless. He's just killed John the Baptist. Now that John's gone, they're left with the Pharisees, who are only interested in the external stuff. So here's God's people, in a sense. They don't have anyone to lead them. And Jesus has compassion on them. And Jesus is going to show that he is their shepherd. But what does he do? Primarily, what does Jesus do? It tells us he began to teach them many, many things. The most compassionate thing to do for people is, according to Jesus, according to Mark's gospel, is that to shepherd people, to lead people, to show them the compassion the Lord has, is to teach them the kingdom of God, that they must repent and believe the gospel, that Jesus is a shepherd that they need. That's the greatest guidance that we can give. And maybe this morning there's someone this morning, and you're like the crowd. You're like the crowd that's there that day. You're like a sheep without a shepherd. You're lost, and you're on your way to a lost eternity, separated from the Lord forever. But the Bible here tells us, and that's what our third point is all about, that we have a shepherd. We have a shepherd in Jesus, one who is the ultimate missionary, one who will be with us in our lives. And perhaps this morning in a crowd this size, there's someone and you need to come. You're lost. You're like that lost sheep. You need to come. You need to come to the shepherd. In fact, John's gospel tells us that he is the good shepherd, the good shepherd who laid down his life for the sheep. And make sure today that you've come to him, first of all, and then begin to serve him as your shepherd and as your friend. So the two points this morning there, what's involved in mission? It's serving. It's being sent out. It's through all kinds of difficulties and trials. But the Lord is training us. He's with us. We need to depend on him in that. The second thing there is, who is why do we need missionaries? Because there are so many people around who are sheep without a shepherd. And that's the case in Northwest Europe. I'm sure that's the case in a Hockle. That's the case in your family, in your workplace. And that is the situation. People, let's look at people as Mark describes them, as sheep without a shepherd, and let's lead them to the shepherd. Because ultimately, our third point this morning is just simply that. Who is the ultimate missionary? Well, this story really points us very quickly to Jesus, because time and time again, Jesus shows the inadequacy of the disciples. He tells them, first of all, to go home. Then he says, you give them something to eat. And they start to panic and strategize and think, oh, it's £18,000. How could we possibly raise that kind of money? And Jesus is wanting them to really realize that he is the shepherd. He is the one who will provide. And he's training these guys that in whatever service they're going to face in the future, he is the ultimate missionary. And they must trust in him, and he will provide for them. And he does just that, because after they have gone through all of the stuff, we're told there in verse 39 that, yes, the disciples are involved. They get the fish and so on, and they're involved in this. But here Jesus takes over, and he says in verse 39, he commanded them all to sit down in groups on green grass. They sat down, hundreds, fifties, and he prayed, as he always did, to his Father, and they all ate and were satisfied, and there was plenty left over. What's going on there just before we finish? I think that the Lord's pointing to the disciples that he is the ultimate missionary. Yes, they're to be involved. It will involve service. It will involve hard work. It will involve going out through difficulties, through trials, and all of that, because people need to hear the gospel. But he says, look, this doesn't all sit with you. This isn't all about you. This is about what I can do through you. And here's what happens. We're told that all of these people were satisfied. Incidentally, if you look back to Psalm 23, that's why I asked for that reading to be done as well. Psalm 23, verse 2, speaking the Lord, David is speaking of the Lord. He says, the Lord's my shepherd, I shall not want. Verse 2 says, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. That's what David said about the Lord. And here's Jesus revealing himself as this Lord. He sits the people down in green pastures, and he provides for his people. And at the end of all of this, they are all satisfied. And each of the disciples, the 12 baskets there, that whatever size, lots of people have different views there about what size these baskets are. But the point is clear that there's one for each of the disciples to go on their way, that he, the Lord, would provide for them. So let's remember this story this morning. Let's remember the good shepherd who gave his life for sheep who are lost and without a shepherd. Let's be involved in his mission. Let's serve. Let's work hard. Yes, but let's remember this isn't all about us. It's about his power working through us to feed people his word, his gospel, so that they might come to know the shepherd and that they might be strengthened and used and serve him right throughout all of their lives.